Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with strong words from Secretary of State John Kerry, characterizing the use of chemical weapons by the Assad regime as undeniable, while calling its indiscriminate use against women and children and bystanders a moral obscenity. Rafif Shujati, the English language spokesperson for the Syrian Local Coordination Committees, the umbrella group for the Syrian opposition, joins us to discuss the consequences for the Assads as the certainty that they use chemical weapons grows. Then, with groves of ancient sequoias in Yosemite National Park threatened by a raging wildfire, we will speak with a leading expert on forest fire prevention and management. Stephen Pine, the Regents Professor in the School of Life Sciences at Arizona State University, joins us to discuss how policies preventing natural forest fires that make trees and forests healthier have led to a buildup of underbrush fuel that makes it all but inevitable that forests and trees will be killed by much more intense and catastrophic fires. Then finally, we'll look into the wave of legislative attacks on abortion providers at the state level that have shut down 54 abortion providers in 27 states since 2010. Jody Jacobson, editor-in-chief of RH Reality Check, joins us to discuss the dramatic decline of abortion access from Republican anti-abortion legislation under the guise of protecting the civil rights of the unborn and their mothers. And joining us now is Rafif Shujati, who's the English language spokesperson for the Syrian Local Coordination Committees, the umbrella group of the Syrian opposition. She's a Syrian-American activist and works to empower other activists to take action and inform the public about events in Syria. Welcome to Background Briefing, Rafif Shujati.
Thank you, Ian.
And the Secretary of State appears to have removed any ambiguity on the part of the U.S. administration. The French and the British have already said that they believe this is chemical weapons were used by the Assad regime, and so have Médecins Sans Frontières. Do you think that the fact that the UN team that eventually did get in were fired on? Let's begin with that, because there's some ambiguity about that. Who do you understand fired on the lead vehicle? They shot out the tires and put a bullet through the windshield, and they had to, obviously the convoy had to stop and replace the vehicle. So what's your understanding on what happened there?
What we understand is that it was the popular committees that fired on the UN inspectors. The popular committees are made up of the Syrian Shabiha. These are the paramilitary forces that dress in civilian clothing and carry full weaponry. And in fact, these Shabiha have been guilty of torturing and detaining thousands, tens of thousands of Syrians. So we believe that they were the ones who were sniping the UN inspectors' vehicles.
And they would not be freelancers. This would be because the suspicion is that the Assad regime has delayed the inspectors getting in and have shelled the area fairly thoroughly, and that the purpose of doing this is to allow enough time for evidence to degrade.
Absolutely. The Shabiha are not freelancers. These are paid thugs, paid by the regime, in support of the regime. And what we do understand is that the whole area had been under pretty continuous shelling for 5 days, to degrade any evidence and to, in fact, from our perspective, to kill as many other people as possible.
So Bashar al-Assad, in an interview with a Russian newspaper, dismissed claims that his regime was behind the use of chemical weapons, pointing out that it would be illogical to do such a thing because it would invite, obviously, a foreign response, and one would hope a global response, since we're talking about weapons of mass destruction here. How do you explain his confidence that in other words, when he says it's illogical, he may have a point?
Well, yeah, he has behaved illogically from the beginning of the Syrian uprising. What we do need to remember is that he and his regime operatives and his armed forces control the chemical weapons stockpiles in Syria. And the other thing we have to remember is that he issued a threat. He said that there would be global consequences if the U.S. or any foreign power were to strike Syria. And so we have a psychotic dictator, a madman, who is now issuing threats to the whole world in addition to launching chemical weapons on civilian communities. So I think he is, in fact, quite illogical. I think he's a dangerous madman that needs to be stopped.
So if indeed he is attacked, which seems it's growing in likelihood, and whether or not my understanding is there's already a lot of evidence out there, at any rate, from Medecins Sans Frontières and others. There's a lot of pathological evidence that you can get from the victims of a chemical attack, even if the traces of sarin have evaporated. If the U.S. waits for a few days for the U.N. and whatever they come up with, I'm sure will indicate. It seems there's a lot of confidence on the part of the Western powers that something that chemical weapons are used. So I don't imagine that any evidence will change that. So the real question is, when will the U.S. and or other powers strike? And do you expect a retaliation? Do the Free Syrian Army expect a retaliation? They've been somewhat disappointed up to date.
Yes, I do want to clarify that we in the local coordination committees in Syria have been reporting the use of chemical weapons against civilian communities since December of 2011, and international players have been collecting evidence over time. With the latest strikes, they apparently have gotten enough conclusive evidence to justify a strike and for statements to be issued saying that, in fact, Obama's red line has been crossed. I think with Secretary Kerry's comments today, it's clear that the U.S. and other members of the international community are prepared to take action. The question is, what kind of action are they going to take, and will it be decisive? If they take action and don't cripple the regime or cause its collapse, then we have really gained nothing and, in fact, can expect an additional backlash and can expect the Assad regime to retaliate very harshly against civilians in Syria.
But we've spoken before, Rafif Jujadi, again, the English language spokesperson for the Syrian Local Coordination Committees, the umbrella group of the Syrian opposition. We've spoken before, and you've said that essentially if the Assads go, then everything will be fine. And I spoke yesterday with the former CIA officer, Robert Baer, who spent a lot of time in the region and knows, and is in touch with both the Alawite side and the rebel side. And he says for the Alawites, it's an existential struggle, that they feel their backs against the wall. So with or without Assad, it won't change things. So let's start with that question.
Let's agree that it's an existentialist struggle for the regime. I would not paint it in such sectarian terms. There are a great many Alawites who are part of the Syrian revolution, which started for dignity and freedom and democracy for all Syrians, regardless of ethnic or religious background. Now, the fact that the Assad regime comes from that minority Alawite sect is more of a coincidence, but I would not paint it in sectarian terms. The Assad regime is a family that has treated this country like a family farm for the past 50 years. And much to their surprise, the people have finally risen up against tyranny and dictatorship. And this is where the problem lies. For the Syrian people to oust the Assad regime means an end to that family dynasty.
Well, what do you think caused them to resort to such a drastic measure as using chemical weapons, knowing that there'd be an international response? And we don't quite know what the response is going to be, but I think we can assume that something's going to be happening in the next few days.
Well, I think Assad has been greatly emboldened by the international community's paralysis. He has managed to displace more than 1.5 million people to neighboring countries, and he has managed to allow roughly 11 million of Syria's 22 million people to be subjected to famine. And we have more than 110,000 civilians killed. We have more than 250,000 people in detention. These are political prisoners. Many of them are children. And so Assad has been able to act at will with virtually no consequences, and he continues to enjoy the support of Hezbollah and Iran and the Russians. And so I suspect that he and his regime operatives are feeling so emboldened that they feel there are no consequences.
Well, specifically, there are reports that that Maher Assad's, his 4th Division, where they were launched from his headquarters at the base of Mount Qassoun, that's where the artillery, with the sarin shells are supposedly mixed with Iranian riot gas to dilute it so it's not that detectable. Now, that's one theory, that Assad's brother just went off the reservation or did it on his own. The other theory is that Assad himself ordered it because very recently he was almost killed in an ambush. And the third theory is that the rebels in that neighborhood have advanced very, very close to into Damascus, while the regime has had successes with Hezbollah in Qusair and Homs. The Free Syrian Army and its allies, I guess al-Nusra and these other people, have made inroads into close to the heart of the regime. So walk us through those three scenarios.
So I have heard that it could have been Maher Assad, the brother and the commander of the armed forces from the 4th Division. I've also heard that this was from the Air Force Intelligence Branch and the 155th Armored Division. I've heard multiple different theories. But the bottom line is that anybody in a position of real military power in Syria is part of the Assad family. And so I believe the decisions to strike and to use chemical weapons will be made in a family context in full collusion. So whether or not this was Bashar Assad retaliating because of an attempt on his life, or whether he and his brother agreed to launch a chemical weapons strike against civilians, it would be one and the same. The end result is that we have had more than 1,000 people die due to a chemical strike. In terms of the attempt on his life, on Bashar al-Assad's life, yes, several days ago, the Free Syrian Army did attack a convoy that was transporting Bashar al-Assad. And I believe that there are attempts like this every day. I think the Free Syrian Army and other rebel forces will not stop until this is over.
So I'm just trying to get an understanding of what would provoke such what appears to be a reckless move. Now, you're suggesting that from the perspective of the Free Syrian Army and the local coordinating committees that you are the English language spokesperson for, that you've been disappointed by the West since this rebellion began and you're not expecting a lot. But assuming that at the very least and the most logical thing would be for the U.S. to shut down the main airport in Damascus. Would that's through which the Iranian supplies come in every day. Would that make a difference?
Well, conceivably that would make quite a difference because the Assad regime is relying on Iranian weapons and Hezbollah fighters to kill its own people. That would be helpful. But now that the regime has resorted to the use of chemical weapons, I think what we need is much more precision strikes. We need surgical strikes. We need to, the international community would need to take out the very heart of that command and control. I don't think shutting down an airport or two or three or nine is going to essentially restore any sort of peace to an area that's being subjected to the psychopathic whims of a family that possesses and deploys chemical weapons.
So in other words, your feeling is that if the U.S. and others who might get involved in a punitive response to the use of chemical weapons, not based upon the Syrian civil war, which they've been obviously ambivalent about, and as you point out, the Russians, then the Hezbollah and the Iranians are not ambivalent. They are completely supporting Assad. But they, but if they were to do something, it would have to be to stop this family from using these weapons again. And the only way that you do that would be to take out the entire command and control structure, which is a family-based system, right?
Well, that is what I believe. I think the time for negotiations and the time for nonviolence and all of the ideals to which we aspired have come and gone. Now that we're talking about chemical weapons and we're talking about very significant regional implications, and we're talking about different regional actors, and we're talking about a humanitarian crisis that has surpassed anything we've seen in Rwanda or Bosnia. So everything is being escalated, and I think if we want to put an end to this and restore any sort of stability, we do have to bring about the collapse of this regime and help bring about some democracy and restore order.
Well, just in closing, Rafish Jujati, given the record of ambivalence, would a punitive symbolic strike like blowing up the airport and cratering the runway, to your mind, that may even be worse than doing nothing? Because
absolutely. This would only antagonize Bashar al-Assad. This would be very provocative, I think, for the Russians, for Hezbollah, for Iran. I think it would signal that the red line of chemical weapons is really just a blushing pink line and is really meaningless. I have no idea what the international community would be aiming to achieve by blowing up an airport route. I think decisive surgical strikes are what we need.
Well, but decisive surgical strikes to take out the regime itself. That's what you're saying.
The regime itself, the heart of the command and control. Absolutely.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Rafish Jujati.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Rafish Jujati, who is the English language spokesperson for the Syrian Local Coordination Committees, the umbrella group of the Syrian opposition. She's a Syrian-American activist and works to empower other activists to take action and inform the public about events in Syria. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the massive fire in the Yosemite National Park and why it is happening.
اكتب واخط بالقلم بالقلم اكتب واخط بالقلم دموع من عيني يا ناس مالي حدا يا ناس مالي حدا بهمي يواسيني